Take your Bible this morning, James chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to be reading responsively here in just a few moments, but you know, God has a way of changing things. I had my plans for what I was going to preach this morning, and the other day, and I was praying, and God changed it all, and I did not know what Brother Hallman was going to be preaching on in Sunday school this morning, but his lesson, it's amazing. When I got here this morning, was listening to the lesson, I looked at the points. I was like, man, my sermon is just going to launch right off of that. So if you're here for Sunday school this morning, then you're going to be primed and ready to go. If you weren't here for Sunday school, you're going to play catch up for a minute. Okay, not too bad. But James 4, and by the way, just so thankful for all those that spend so much time singing and playing and getting music together. Praise God for that. All this coming together is a lot of work, and I praise God for people that have those gifts and work so hard at it, including doing a lot of other things in the church as well. So praise God for that. You know, we all know that life is brief. You know, here today, gone tomorrow. That our lives, you know, many times we think that things go by so slowly. I remember when I was a young person, I was a teenager, life went super slow. Right? When you're 12, you can't wait to be 13. When you're 13, you can't wait to be 16 so you can drive. You know, when you're 16, you can't wait to be 18 and graduate high school and go off to college. And then when you're 18, you can't wait till you get done with college. You're 22, 23, you know, get married and move on with your life. You know, you can't wait. Can I tell you something? The older you get, the more you want life to slow down. But it doesn't slow down, does it? It gets going faster and faster. You know, constantly I'm thinking, you know, I have 5 children, and I look at my wife, and, you know, we've been married this year, 14 years, and I look at my wife and say, where did the time go? It's been a wonderful time. And, you know, we look at our life, and the older you are when you read James 4, especially when we get to verse number 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a short time. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's here right now, gone in a moment. Talking about vapor, talking like steam and the mist. The mist is there for a time, but as soon as the sun comes out, it's gone. That's our lifespan. We don't have an entire lifetime. We don't have all the time in the world. We have the time that God has given to us. You know what? I was listening to a preacher, and he mentioned something. He said, you know what? There's nothing. God has an appointed time, and there's nothing you can do to hasten your death or extend your life. Like, well, isn't that a Calvinist way to think? There's a lot of things we can do to shorten the time God's given us. There's a lot of things we can do, but also there's some things that we can do. There's promises in the Word of God that will prolong our days. One of them is to love the Lord and obey Him. To honor your parents is another, and to live according as God would have you live. You know, but we have plans, though. Our lives are short, yes, Pastor, but I've got plans. We have plans for tomorrow and for the days and weeks after that. But here's a question. What are God's plans for your life? Do we consult Him when we make plans? And that's what the title of the message is this morning. What is your life? We're in James chapter 4. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to begin in verse number 13 this morning. I'm going to read verse 13, and then you're going to read verse 14. I'm going to read verse 15 and so on until we get down to verse number 17. So I'll start off in verse 13, and then you read verse 14 out loud together this morning. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray together. Dearly Father, I pray that you bless the message this morning. Oh, Lord, we give you praise and glory. You have been magnified this morning. We thank you for the time of worship and praise to you in song. And Lord, as we come to the next part of our worship of you, Lord, that we would come to you in the proper spirit and the proper mindset. And Lord, that we would realize what is our life. Is it really ours or is it yours? I pray your blessing this morning that you would give me the words to say. Fill me with thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be touched today. If any are not saved, dear Lord, I pray that they would trust you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all those who are with us, our visitors, those watching online this morning. We pray that your word would find its home in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What is your life? A poignant question, a timely question. What is our life? And we look back in our life, maybe some of you are at the beginning of your life, some getting near the end of your winter years, and you look back on your life and say, what is my life? Has it been full of service to the Lord, or has it been full of serving yourself? And this morning, we have to establish some things, though. When we look think about our life, the plans that we make, and in James 4, that's exactly what the point of this passage is. How do we view our life? Number one this morning is a question. Is it really your life? I have a life to live, preacher. I have plans. I have things to do. I have gifts and talents, and I have to make something of myself. Is it really your life to live? There are some basic truths that God tells us that will transform how we think. We are not an island unto ourselves. There is not one self-made person on this planet. And there are some people that say that, well, I'm a self-made person. I made myself. I worked hard. I did this or that. But isn't that what we're told? To go make something of ourselves and make your life count for something? It sounds good. And guess what? It appeals to us, to be honest. You know what? I want to make my dent on history. I want to make myself. I'll never forget a preacher told me one time. I said, you know, my point of my life is I want to kick a dent in the history of this city. That all sounds well and good, but I'm sorry. It's God that should be doing that, not you. Because our life is not for us to make it count for something. And I know that's well intended. We have a deep-seated need to accomplish something, especially as men. We want to accomplish something. But here we have to understand something. God made us. Psalm 139 verses 14 through 17 tell us, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Amen. Doesn't God know we're not perfect? Yet being unperfect, and in thy book are all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God created us. We did not have any part of our creation. Did we create ourselves? Did we decide how tall we were going to be? What color eyes we were going to have? What abilities we would have? Did we decide any of that? Absolutely not. So you're not a self-made person. God made you. Because we did not decide if we were going to be born. We did not decide when. We did not decide where. All that was decided for us, and life was given by God. Amen. All that was decided. Say, well, it was decided by my parents. Right? In part, that is true, but in the end, it was decided by God. God has a plan. You know, there's some people, you know, you see on TikTok and these different things, people are like, well, I want to live like it's back in the 1940s, 1950s. I don't like the time period I live in. I want to pretend like I live in some other time. God created you to live in this time, right here, right now. God created. So don't wish for the past or wish for the future. I wish I was born in the future when all these problems weren't going on. Every generation's had their problems. Every generation has had their battles they need to face. Guess what? We have ours. But God has a plan and a purpose for us to live in the time that we are. So when we look at it in this way, it changes our perspective, doesn't it? God made us. That's why evolution is so damaging. Because it takes away the specialness of creation. It takes away the plan of God. It takes away the law of God. It takes God out of everything. That we're just a highly evolved monkey, a highly evolved animal. And man, sure, people act like it sometimes. Right? Guess what? If you tell people they're an animal enough times, they'll start acting like it. But we're not. We're a special creation of God. Second, because we're made by God, and second part of it, because we are made by God, Adam and Eve were created in perfection in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, but what happened? Man sinned. Because of that sin, death passed upon all men. We are imperfect, not because of God's plan, but because of man's sin.
And because of that, God made a plan of salvation for us. Because of that sin, we are in shackles to sin. We are condemned as sinners. We are on our way to a real and literal hell. We are hopeless without Him. And because He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He set in motion salvation's plan from Genesis 3:15 all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, to where Christ paid for sin on the cross and rose again to give us eternal life. And we see all of that you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've gone over this verse several times in Sunday school and in different things going looking at discipleship, but we have to keep coming back to this thought. It's like, well, I can decide for myself. I can make my own way in life. I can make my own decisions. You know what? I'm a big boy or big girl. I can do what I want in life, and God will understand. Here's the question. Are you really your own? This is the question. Is it really your life to live? Does God give us a freedom of will? Absolutely, He does. If we want to go live life the way we want, He lets us do that. But is that really the plan that God has? And that's what James 4 is talking about. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 19 and 20, let's look at those. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So, well, that's just talking about our spirit. No, it's talking about your body. Because let's continue on. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your what? Body, yes, in our soul and our spirit, absolutely, but in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? Not yours. Oh, people have a problem with this. Guess what? Everything in the flesh is going right now. Why? Because we want to make our own way in life. We want to, even inside Christendom, we want to make our own way in life. If you're a Christian, you're bought with a price. So the world's argument that, you know, what does they say about abortion and about all these things? It's my body, I can do what I want. About homosexuality, sodomy, all of those things. Well, I can do what I want. Well, I'm sorry, the Bible just told you the opposite right here. You can't do what you want. Actually, we can't do all of that. You know why? The context of this passage is sexual purity. That's the context here. The context is you just can't do whatever you want with your body and immorality. You can't sleep with who you want and have whatever boundaries of marriage you want. You can't do that because you are God's. Amen? Here we are. And so if that's the context there, especially when it comes to sexual purity, it also comes in every other area of our life. So we don't get to call all the shots. This changes the picture dramatically. The first being that we're created by God. We didn't have any part in that. We're not self-made. The second, you are bought with a price. If you're a Christian this morning, you are bought with a price. You are not your own. We're not the ones in control. And that bothers some people. Because when things go out of their control, who do they blame first? God. When things don't go the way they want, who they blame? God. Oh, it couldn't be their own decisions, possibly. Oh, it couldn't be consequences for their own sin. No, it must be God's fault. It must be God has something out for me. No, that's the wrong way to view it because God loves us. God cares for us, and God has a plan. That's exactly what James 4 is telling us. So second, first, is it really your life? Number two, God wants to make your life count. We all desire for our lives to count for something, right? If you're a Christian, you ought to want to make a difference for God's kingdom. You ought to want to do that. For some people, they want to count for something at the end of their life. They want to have the biggest 401k and that they have the biggest retirement, that they can live how they want after they retire and that they can pass that on to their kids or grandkids. Nothing wrong with having a retirement, but if that's how you think your life's going to count for something, what do we learn about the parable of the man that built had barns? You know, he said, my barns are filled. You know what I'll do is I'll tear down these barns and build new ones so I can put all my stuff. And what did Jesus say? Thou fool. No, it's not that tomorrow you're going to die. Don't you know that? That our life is here for just a moment. For some people, it's having the biggest house. For others, it's achieving notoriety at work. I got to the top. These are just a few. Whatever they find fulfills their need to make a difference in the world. Something that we miss in this life is a very short phrase. Let's look here in James chapter 4 again. A very short phrase that is in James chapter 4. We just looked at verse 13 and 14. And they said, oh, we're going to, verse 13. Go to now ye that say today or tomorrow. tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15, for ye ought to say, here's the phrase, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. If it's God's will for us to have, because we can't change the plan that God has. Because what can happen is we get in the way of God's plan. We get in the way of it and we are doing something or going in a direction and we find ourselves in a mess. Why? Because we did not consult the Lord, if the Lord wills. Didn't Joshua get into trouble with Ai? And he went up against them, and guess what he didn't? He didn't pray, did he? Why? Because there was sin in the camp. Achan had sinned. And we see that he didn't say, if the Lord wills. It's amazing how quickly he forgot to pray. Don't we do the same thing? Oh, man, a great deal, a great thing, a great that. You know, and, you know, it even happens to your preacher sometimes. I got a call this week from somebody. It's like, hey, you know, this particular ministry was recommended. You know, someone recommended them to me. It's like, hey, why don't we want to come and do something for your church and your next week? And I'm like, oh, sure. But then after I got off the phone, the Lord said, oh, wait a minute. And I finally tell them last night, hey, you know, things aren't coming together. You know, we're just going to have to hold off for right now. Don't have peace about it. And they're like, oh, that's fine. But you know what? That reminded me, you know, we can get so caught up in the busyness of life. We just make decisions like that. But if the Lord wills, it's very important to know what God's will is and God's perfect will. Even in our Christian and Baptist circles, we hear this phrase, make your life count for God. I know the intention behind it's a good intention. However, let's be honest, it's not up to us to make our life count. Like God hasn't taken that into account at all. Don't you think God has a plan for you that's going to matter in his kingdom? Amen. Well, we don't make it count. God will make it count. Amen. That's the title of the second point here. God's going to make your life count. That we are giving up a perfectly good path in life. Ever hear that? Well, we're giving up a perfect, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be, but give all that up to serve God. Guess what? If that's the path you had for you and God has a different path, that wasn't the one you were supposed to be on. It wasn't a perfectly good path. It was the wrong path for you. It is the path for some people, but it wasn't the path for you. So, well, we're giving up all of that to serve God. I understand the thought process behind it. It's really, as we learned in Sunday school, giving up on self and the flesh and submitting to God because God has a plan for you. And guess what? The world doesn't get that. Like, why would you waste your life serving God? Why would you do that? Why would you give up the promotion? Why would you not get a better job? Why would you go here and go there and do this? Why would you go be a missionary? Why? Remember, the things of God are foolishness to this world. They don't get it because all they're concerned about is themselves, because that's what sin does. God, he already has a plan for us to make a difference in his kingdom. That did not surprise God. He had a plan, but hey, it can surprise us, right, when we find out what that plan is. You don't need to worry if your life will matter, if you will make a difference. A life lived for God will always make a difference. And exactly the way God intends. The phrase, if the Lord wills it. Here it is, and the way God wants you to make a difference with your life may not be the plan that you have. Amen? Oh, I have a plan, God, and we volunteer ourselves. God, I want to do this for you. Because you haven't figured out what I should be doing yet, I'm just going to let you know. I'm going to help you out, God. I'm going to help you out. You know what? I want to do that. You know, that's what I wanted to do. When I was a young person, I was a teenager. You know what? I'm going to help God out. I knew I was supposed to serve God. I knew God was drawing me. And so, you know what? A great way, you know, I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a locomotive diesel mechanic. You know, I wanted to be all these different things. You know what? I really like flying. You know, someone said, hey, you got a good, acumen for that. You're good at it. You know, and I was like, hey, instead of being a commercial, I didn't want to be like a commercial airline pilot. Who wants to do that every day? You know, same place of land. You know, I want to be like a charter pilot. I wanted to be the one, the best of the best. You know what? I wanted to be, you know, hey, when you have a special delivery that no one else can do, you call Bob, okay? You know, you call or Rob, you know, you call him and he can do it for you. I want to be like those TV star people, you know, and be like, be the best of the best. And hey, you got a problem, call him. And you know what? Then I realized, you know, and I heard some sermons, well, that's not a good way to think. But I'll be the best of the best missionary pilot then. I'll spiritualize it. You know, and I'll be the best. You know, I won't go where other people go. You know, I'll, you know, because my missionary here is Nate Saint. I love what he did for the Lord there, and praise God for all he did there in Ecuador. And just, and like, hey, I can do that. You know, he married a nurse. I married a nurse. Hey, it all is working out. You know, hey, this is God's plan for my life. You know, and I was going through all of that, but it was a funny thing. Every time I tried to go in that direction, slam. Well, and well, I guess that wasn't the door. Go over here, slam. You know, I kept going. I kept getting whacked by God, like, no, 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 no. Well, what do you want me to do? You know, because I was like, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to be a pilot, and I'm going to fly, and I'm not going to preach or anything. You know, I'll give out tracts. You know, I'll help out, and I'll fly people everywhere, and I'll save lives. And I'll get the missionaries that do preach into where they're supposed to be at. I'll do that, God. I don't want to be a preacher because preachers don't have any fun. How wrong I was. And then each time I got out of college, even out of college, you know, I interned for a year and all of that. Okay, I'm going to go into missionary aviation and I was going to a place in Missouri and I was going to go down and visit and Pastor Harvey. He's like, hey, so what are you doing? He's like, hey, I'm going to go to this place for training. He goes, well, that's great. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. What place are you going to? I'm like, oh, I told him. He's, oh, that's great. He's okay. Well, wonderful. So he gets off and he goes online and he looks at their doctrinal statement. And he calls me up a couple days later. He's like, hey, I just want to let you know. I know. And I was planning to go that weekend. I had taken time off from the church I was working at. We were going to go down there and we were going to check it out. I mean, the 3 or 4 months, we're going to be done with our internship, and I was going to go down there. And Pastor Harvey said, well, Robert, I don't want to be the one to break this to you, but you can't go to that place down there. I'm like, well, why not? He goes, they're Baptist Briders. You can't go down there. For those of you who don't know, it's a false doctrine that if only your Baptist church is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and nobody else is going to be there. Pretty much, and it's a very dangerous doctrine, and I was mad, because it was again, slam! I was like, what am I going to do? He's like, well, I do need help in Texas, so why don't you just come down here, come visit us, and just pray about it, and never forget, was here visiting, I was staying over at Harvey Hall, went out in the back over here, And the Lord just burdened my heart. I said, this is where you're supposed to be at. I said, okay, God, I'll be here for a year or two. Then I'm going to go. Well, that was almost 13 years ago. And I went back there and prayed. I said, God, if you want me here, I can't afford to come here. I'm in an internship. And I can, all these things, God, I have all these obstacles. But there's about 8 obstacles. If you want me to stay, come here and help. I'll come here. I'll do it. Where else am I going to go? And within a matter of about 3 hours, 6 of those obstacles were removed. Without my trying. Just boom. Like, that'll get your attention, by the way, when you're doing that. And then I went home and the 2 other obstacles just went poof like that. You know, one of them was I had to ask the pastor I was working for, hey, can I get off 2 months early for my internship? And he was not an easy guy to deal with. He said, sure, actually, I was already thinking about that. I came to Texas. The rest is history. You know the rest. You know what? I had a plan. I said, God, I want to do what I want to do. I'm volunteering so you can know exactly what I need to do for you. But through the years, God has pruned and God has changed. And guess what? What I end up being, what I didn't want to be, a preacher. But I love it. I love doing it. I love being a pastor. I love this church. I love being here. Because God's will is always perfect. But you know what's hard? Sometimes you don't see it. We don't see it. We take things into our own control. God reminds us of this important fact in Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There are many things that are in our heart, any desires, plans, all of those things. Here's the question, if the Lord wills. Some rejoice in their own plans. Let's go back to James 4. That's what we see in verse 16. James chapter 4, As I get back over there, I moved my marker here. Verse 15, for you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. What's going on is that, oh, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to be successful. And I'm going to make this investment. And I'm going to grow this. And then they're talking about the five-year plan. I've got this planned out. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to be successful. And look at all the things I've done. Look at all the success I'm having. I'm doing an awesome job. Bible saying all such boasting is evil. Because what are you doing? You're not giving God glory. You're bringing glory to yourself. Isaiah 47:10 says, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Isn't that a description of the day and age we live in? It's all about me. There's no one else. No one sees me. There's no God that sees what I'm doing. Who cares what I'm doing? How wrong they are. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Isn't that the truth? We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm sure those people driving over that Baltimore Bridge at 1:30 in the morning didn't expect a big ship to hit it and fall into the ocean, did they? They didn't expect that. I mean, people in New Jersey didn't expect a 4.8 earthquake that morning. Especially up in the Northeast when that only happens every 30 years. Now, I've been in an earthquake, 3.0, okay, a tremor, okay? Up in New York, it happened every once in a while. I mean, it shook a little bit. You know, when you live in a log house, it makes you nervous, okay? But, you know, been out there, but, you know, some of you out in California, people don't even feel the 3.0s. They're like, that's like happens like every week, you know? We don't even feel those. Only the really big ones, we feel those. Who knows what today is going to bring? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can make plans all we want, but if the Lord wills is the key factor because things are changing. Do you know what happens when we make a plan and then things don't happen the way we plan? What do we have? We get upset. We get frustrated. We get angry. We get depressed. We get discouraged. Like, well, my plan didn't work out. Well, did you ask if the Lord wills? If the Lord didn't will it, praise God that he didn't allow it. Because there's a reason in it. Ever been on those times? You know, Brother Scott mentioned this last week. You know, you've been on a trip and you're trying to be on time, but you get out late. You know, especially if you have children, don't plan to be on time anywhere. But, you know, unless you wanted like an hour early, right? You know, you're trying to get out. You know, dads, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, we're leaving at 8 o'clock. We're going because we got to get so many hours down the road, and we've got a gas stop here and a gas stop there. And it doesn't matter when you have younger children. I don't know what it is. The amount of times you send them to the bathroom four times before you go, you're 30 minutes in. I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, you don't give them water for 2 hours beforehand. Somehow it happens, right? And you're like, man, delay. I'm frustrated. I threw off the timeline. But then when you pull out of the gas station, you get done with your stop, you're frustrated, you're seething, you're upset. Ugh! Big accident on the highway that would have been there right at the time you were there. The Lord wills. So what is your life? Number three, what is your life? Brings us to the big question. What is your life? What does God desire to do with your life? Well, the last verse tells us. Verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What's the context of this? We use this verse a lot. Many times we use it out of context, actually. You know what to do with your life, but if you don't do it, it's sin to you. What does that mean? If you have a purpose for God and you know what that purpose is and you're not doing it, it's sin. If you know what you're supposed to be doing, and that can apply, I understand that can apply in a lot of different areas. If you are... You know what the right thing to do is, whether it's to be honest or to be compassionate or merciful. Many times that's how we apply it. But in the context here, what it's talking about, hey, I have my plans and I'm not going to consult God. I'm going to do my own plans. You know you're supposed to be consulting God. You know you're supposed to be asking if the Lord wills. But I'm not going to do that to you. It's sin. It's not just a bad option. It's not just the best path, you know, because we like, well, there's a best path, a better, you know, good, better, best. There's the best plan, there's a better one, there's a good one. No, there's either the best or nothing. There's either God's plan or that's it. God, I understand, God is merciful, can work in spite of our mistakes, amen? He can work in spite of, we can change the plan, we can, but the best one that God had is off the table. God's plan has been forever altered. We need to be careful about the decisions we make. What does God desire to do with your life? To bring glory to himself. What is God's plan for you? He has one for you. I said, oh, well, he has a plan for other people. He doesn't have one for me. No, he does. Because then you're saying, I am, and there's none else beside me. Everybody else, but I'm special. I'm different. No, you're not. James 1, 17, 18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He's fair, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. Of his own will, here it is, once again, reemphasized, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Remember, Christ died to redeem us from sin. Do you believe that God's plan is perfect and pleasing to him, that God has a perfect plan for you? You know, you don't have much time when you compare your lifespan, you know, 75, 80, 85 years. You don't have much time when you consider centuries and millennia, thousands of years. You don't have that much time at all, especially even shorter when you consider eternity. You don't have a long time. That's why God says, it's but a vapor. That's how he views it. You, a puff of steam. That's here for a moment, gone in the next. Every moment needs to count. Why do you think it's reminded of us two different times? Redeeming the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Time is short. You don't have a long time. It's time to get a hold of God and find out what you're supposed to be doing. If you're living out God's plan for you, amen, praise God. Don't you ever sell it. Don't you ever give up on it. Don't you ever think that you're not doing the best, living your best life now, as our friend Joel likes to say. Live your best life now. If you're living it for God, it doesn't matter how poor or rich or whatever you are, you're living the best life you can live for God. Well, I don't have my bank account isn't what I want it to be. Well, guess what? The apostles had no bank accounts, so they had no money. Well, some of those faithful Christians, they didn't have any money. You know what? You look at like George Mueller. You know what George Mueller had at the end of his life? He had a Bible and a table and a chair. That's all he had. Oh, man, if you talk to these people, well, he was foolish. He didn't save for the future. One of the greatest Christians of faith in the last 300 years. God used in miraculous ways to save orphans all over England and all over Europe. Preached around the world. But that's all he had. His Bible, a table, and a chair. Didn't even own his own bed. Oh, what a failure. Because he didn't have a savings account to pass on. Oh, no, his treasure's in heaven. That's what he said constantly. My treasure's in heaven. My treasure's in heaven. Don't ever live for money. Don't ever live for, well, I'm not going to do that. You know what? There's a lot of people in ministries. You know what? I'm not going to take that church because they can't pay me enough. That's the wrong way to view it. It's wrong. I don't care what big-time preacher said it. It's the wrong way to view it. That's not what my Bible says. Go where I send you and I'll provide for you. Amen. You know what? I understand today, you know, missionaries today, they go out. I mean, they've got the savings plan and, you know, they've got everything, the retirement figured out and all. I'm not saying that's wrong to have those things, but at the same time, I think the days have gone by. Guess what? Adoniram Judson wouldn't be taken on for support today by a lot of people because he just went. William Carey, guess what? He didn't. No one would send him. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to go to India. They'll kill you over there. He was maybe, but at least I tried. And all he was a shoe cobbler. He fixed shoes. But he taught himself Greek and Hebrew. He taught himself part of the Indian language. And he had a map in his shop. And he prayed for years before he even got there for the country of India. Then when he got there, guess what? 7 years before his first convert, then his first convert got killed in front of him by the Hindus. Well, time to pack it up and go home. No, he remained. His children died. His wife went insane. All of his children died. Wife went crazy. got married again, and most of those children died. You know what? That's, man, it's not right for him to do that. But you know what? God blessed. And the effect of William Carey, even though it was 250 years ago, is still felt today in India. You know what? Don't ever say that his life wasn't lived for God. You know, we look at these circumstances and we look at them, oh, that's great and that's wonderful, but we apply them today. Oh, no, that wouldn't work out today. What's changed? Has God changed? What's changed is our mindset. That's what's changed. And maybe our mindset needs to get back to what the Bible says it should be instead of what Christendom says it should be or our culture says it should be. Let's get back to what God says it should be. What will you choose? God's best or what you think is best? What is your life? I hope it's defined by if the Lord wills. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray your blessing this morning on the invitation. And Lord, I pray that if you would be pleased, dear Lord, I know you would be, for you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, that if any here today, they're not saved, that they would come to you and be saved. Lord, I know you would be pleased for those here today that perhaps are not submitted to your will and to your plan. You have a plan for them, that they would submit to it today. They would say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever direction you want me to go, I'll do it. I don't know what it is you want me to do, Lord, but I'm willing to do whatever it is to live my life for you. I pray today, Lord, there are many that desire that. I pray for those that have already made that decision. Lord, I pray that they rededicate themselves to it. Lord, constantly we need to do that. I pray that they would and they'd have that joy restored in serving you. Bring glory to yourself. As 1 Corinthians 6:20, that we bring glory to God, glory to yourself in our body and our spirit, which are yours. We give up all rights. I pray, Lord, that we would understand that today. Bless and direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.